Greetings, and welcome to the first episode of the Pinstripe Alley Podcast, a podcast made by Yankees fans for Yankees fans. I'm giving you a raise, your host for this podcast. With me are star Pinstripe Alley writers and analysts, as well as the waffle and sausage to my complete breakfast, What Would Jeter Do and Lord Duggan. So, how are you two doing today?
I'm great, thanks, Greg.
I'm good.
All right, good days, good weeks going on.
Definitely.
You two are. I said you two are, and you're still in college. So how's that going?
Well, I only have to take one class this semester, so I can just be lazy and lay around all the time.
Always nice. How about you?
The exact opposite. I just started law school, so I'm extremely busy with school.
Wow, good
but
luck.
It's all right.
Good luck with that. Man, I couldn't be a lawyer. Not a chance. That requires more work than I'm clearly willing to give. I am the lazy type. That's why I like sports. That's why I've gotten into the field. Anyway, onto the point of this podcast. The first episode of the Pinstripe Alley Podcast just happens to coincide with pitchers and catchers reporting for duty for the Yankees. Is this a clever coincidence, or is this all just a dream within a dream? Who knows? Now, with all the... Exactly. Now, with all the recent happenings in the Land of Rings, we actually have quite a bit to talk about. Before we begin with that, though, since this is the first episode of the podcast, I thought it'd be a good idea to let our listeners know a little bit about ourselves. So, the first segment is going to be an introduction of sorts. Of sorts, actually, not of shorts. That'd be cool if it was an introduction of shorts. But I don't have the technical ability to do that, and plus this is an audio podcast, not a video one. So, Duggan, let's start with you. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, what would you like to know?
Well, I guess most importantly, since this is a Yankee podcast, how'd you get to be a Yankee fan?
Well, I grew up in upstate, and the Yankees were always on TV, so I watched them. I remember watching the championships in the 90s and all of that kind of thing when I was growing up. I was born in 1990, so I was pretty young for those.
Wow.
Yeah. But yeah, I've kind of always liked the Yankees, and I joined PSA in 2009, sometime in the middle of the year, when SB Nation and Yahoo got linked up, and I saw the links to it every time I'd go to Yahoo.
Awesome. That's cool.
Uh-huh.
Very nice. And you're now writing for them. Bravo.
Yeah. You know, they found out that I was devilishly handsome and just brought me aboard.
Indeed. You should see his photo. It's gorgeous.
Definitely.
And how about you, Waffles? Tell us a little bit about yourself. How'd you become a Yankee fan?
Well, my story's a little bit different because I didn't grow up in New York. I grew up in North Carolina, but my dad had always been a big Yankees fan. And when I was about 3, he started taking me to minor league games near our house. And at the time, the minor league team near us was an affiliate of the Yankees, which was a nice coincidence. So he would teach me about baseball, and he kind of wanted a son, but that was not what he got at the time. And at the time, Derek Jeter and Andy Pettit and Mariano Rivera were all on the team, so they were kind of drawing a big crowd because they were really popular at the time. And so I started watching them nearby. And when they moved on, I kept watching the real Yankees with my dad and became a really big fan.
That's great. Wow. I think their popularity has carried over since those days long ago. Call it a feeling.
Little bit. I remember at the time, I really didn't know anything about baseball, but people always gave Derek Jeter so much flack, and it's kind of funny that back then no one really thought that he would put together enough to carry it on as long as he has, so it's pretty funny.
Well, judging by the Mustang commercial we saw in the Super Bowl, I think he's proven them all wrong.
Perhaps.
He looks like he's winning. He traded up his edge. Anyway, a little bit about myself. I've been a Yankees fan for as long as I can remember. My mom and dad were always big Yankees fans, so I'll never forget when I was like 5 years old back in 86, they took me to a game. I don't remember exactly which game it is, but I'll never forget the feeling of like walking out of the like tunnel. Because back then, you know, Yankee Stadium was definitely not as open as the new Yankee Stadium is. It was very enclosed, you know, a lot of tunnels leading, obviously, to the upper deck, because, well, we weren't getting lower deck tickets at the time. But, yeah, so going through the tunnel, then walking out, seeing the field, hearing the crowd, it was like, I guess, mind-blowing at the time. I really fell in love with it and baseball. And so I've been a Yankees fan ever since. Not one of the front-runner fans. No, I stuck with them throughout the 80s, throughout the early 90s when they weren't winning. They were actually being run pretty badly. And then 96, yeah, it was a dream. Although I was a little heartbroken in 94 when they like had their best chance I've ever seen, and then the strike happened. And what I was kind of sad about was that I never got to see like Donnie Baseball get a ring, and I was really hoping for that because he was always my favorite Yankee growing up. And then that switched to Bernie Williams because I loved watching him play center. And right now, if you follow me on Pinstripe Alley, you should know who my favorite player is right now. But in case you don't, it's clearly Brett. Who?
I said it's definitely not Brett Gardner.
No. That chump. Trade him. Get him off the team.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's clearly Brett Gardner. I just love watching the kid play. I think he's really special, and I'm expecting him to eventually be traded, but I hope he's not. I hope he has a full, long Yankee career. But that's pretty much my story. Did you guys have any favorite players growing up?
I don't know. It kind of changed. I wasn't particularly crazy about any one player, I don't think.
You're more about the team?
Yeah.
That's a good philosophy.
Yeah.
How about you, Waffles?
Well, I liked Jeter, obviously.
Right.
When I was a little bit older, Cano also played at the team near where I live, so I followed him a bit, and he's always been a favorite.
He is pretty good. I like Cano, too.
Yeah, he's decent.
Yeah. Although, I don't think we'll get into a whole Pedroia versus Cano horrible debate. Like,
why not?
You mean you don't want to get into all the semantics of why one player might be slightly better than the other?
WRC+.
And, of course, the wall in Fenway doesn't matter.
Never.
No, it's just a giant mistake. But enough insulting Red Sox fans.
Wait a minute. What? I was about to ask, can that please be what this podcast is about? We just like meet for an hour and make fun of Red Sox fans?
There's always time for making fun of Red Sox fans,
just like Waffle said. We could make that a segment later on in the podcast.
This podcast would be 5 hours long if we covered half.
Clearly.
A season worth of making fun of Red Sox fans.
I'll tell you, that's, you know, I'm the type of person that likes to look at the positive side of everything, and the one positive I have taken out of the unmentionable 2004 season is that the true hardcore Red Sox fans, the ones that have supported them this entire time, the ones that have been through all the heartache, all the pain, they
now they have to deal with pink hats too.
Exactly. They now know what it's like to have fair weather fans who take up their seats and basically don't know crap about the game. And I find solace in that. There's a slight part of me that feels bad, but not really.
Nah.
Anyway. Alright. So, next up on the agenda, now that we've gotten the introductions out of the way,
never have to do that again.
Thank goodness.
Alright. Yes, we're done with introductions. They know everything they need to know about us, and anything else they need to know, read our articles on PSA. So, next up on the agenda is, well, the segment would normally be called This Week in Pinstripes, in which we discuss everything that happened, you know, during the previous week in Yankee baseball. However, since there really hasn't been anything happening in the week of Yankee baseball, because, well, it's been the off-season. This first segment is called This Off-Season in Pinstripes. This segment will obviously be discussing, you know, all the things that happened to the Yankees during the off-season. All the trades, interesting moves, signings, anything we find fascinating. So let's get right into it. Waffles, anything you want to bring up this off-season that's interested you?
Well, I guess the big thing that happened was the Jesus Montero and Michael Pineda trade. So
yeah,
that seems like a good place to start.
Yeah, definitely. Get into it.
Well, I don't think that anyone is unaware of how much I loved Jesus Montero.
Yeah, again, Waffles is a huge Miners nerd, so she has been following Jesus Montero. I just call him Jesus. For the entirety of his, I think, young Yankee career. So, I'm sorry for interrupting. Please go on.
Oh, no, not at all. I was really sad to lose him. I think most of us were. But I've watched a lot of videos of Pineda and seen kind of how he pitches, and I'm pretty excited about adding him to the Yankees this season.
Yeah, he seems like he's a really good pitcher. When for those who don't know, one of my jobs is at MLB.com, and I get paid to watch baseball, and I get to stream the game. So if you ever watch a game on MLB.TV and see the commercials go up, I'm one of the people doing that. Of course, if there's a mistake, you can always blame me. But, and I'm sure you do, Dugan, too.
Yes, I do.
Of course.
Did you just call him Dugan?
I know. Slip of the tongue, I of course meant Duggan. I've been good for the rest of the podcast.
Uh-huh.
It'll be Dugan, Duggan, whatever. No, I'm kidding. I'll try to keep your name good. But anyway.
That's all right.
So, I've had the ability to actually see Pineda pitch, and he is actually one of my favorite pitchers to get if I had a game, because one of the things I look for in a pitcher now that I work in MLB.com is I look for how fast they pitch, because the faster they pitch, the faster I get to get out of there. So obviously one of my favorite pitchers to get was Mark Burley on the White Sox, because he takes no time in between pitches. One of my least favorites was Josh Beckett, because man, does he take
forever,
like a jerk. But,
so basically, you're the Joe West of MLB.com.
Essentially, yes, but I have no power, you know. I just hope.
You can't eject people for taking too long.
If I could, oh man. Beckett would be gone. All the time. But anyway, anything else?
Well, we also got a prospect in that trade named Jose Campos. And a lot of people seem to think that he could really be an interesting person to watch. And he will likely start the season either at High A Tampa or maybe Charleston. I'm not really sure. But he could really be a nice piece for the future for people who enjoy following the minors.
Yeah, that's awesome. Duggan, what do you think of this trade?
Well, first of all, FanGraphs has a pace leaderboard, which I'm trying to find, but I don't know where exactly it is. You can see exactly which pitcher pitches the fastest and how they, the slowest. But of the trade, I think that the lateral move that we just made in trading AJ Burnett makes the trade a lot nicer.
Yeah, I actually agree with that.
Yeah, that's good.
Because now, like, there's, I think the rotation, except for who's going to pitch either Hughes or Garcia, is pretty much set.
Yep, because if you put a gun to my head when the trade happened and said, you know, cause at that point we had seven starting pitchers, said, what do you think that we could get if we put AJ Burnett on the block? I wouldn't have thought at all that we could get two live bodies and $13 million. I didn't think there was any way that could happen.
That's because Brian Cashman is a ninja.
He is quite ninja-y. There's no doubt about it. I mean, first the Pineda trade, and then, you know, getting rid of AJ. I agree with you. I thought it would take someone. I thought the Pirates would pay no more than like $10 million, or not even the Pirates, just any team would pay no more than like $10 million for his contract. But so regarding that trade, I think it makes. I just posted an article about this, but I actually think this trade makes a lot of sense for both teams. I mean, I think what the Yankees gain out of this is definitely more flexibility, because like you said, they had seven starters. And, it, you know, frees up a little bit of the budget, but I think this was more about, you know, the flexibility, because, you know, with Hughes and Garcia, whoever doesn't perform well in spring training, you can possibly put him in the bullpen. AJ, with his money, only had one place to go, which was the rotation. You know, you're not paying him that much money to go to the minors or go to the bullpen.
I still wonder if we can actually put Garcia in the bullpen, because I know that last year there were a lot of questions about how quickly he could warm up, and that was sort of why he got the rotation spot at the beginning of the season over Bartolo Colon. So I don't know what would have changed that would make that different now, and people seem to say that, you know, if he doesn't make the rotation, we can just kind of keep him in the pen, but I don't really know if that's true.
Well, I mean, it could just be that, you know, it's possible that the only reason he got it over Colon was also just because he pitched better in the spring training. I don't remember if he did, though.
He didn't.
Okay.
No, Colon was much better.
Okay, so, yeah, actually, now that you mentioned that, you guys are right. So, yeah, no, it's an interesting, you know, problem to have, you know. I personally would love to see Hughes be the fifth starter, just because I really think he's going to have a good year this year, but I don't know if they'll give him the chance.
Yeah, I really don't know. With Garcia being there, it kind of complicates things, because I feel like if Hughes is in the bullpen, he might never get out of the bullpen.
Yeah, they've tossed him in there and out of there so many times that I just hope they didn't, like, ruin him like they did Jabba.
Well, he seems to have come to camp in better shape than he did last season, so hopefully he will do well in spring training and make all of these worries not matter, but we'll have to see.
I guess the real question is he in, quote, the best shape of his life?
Russell Martin is.
That's fantastic.
Again, this season, like always.
Yeah, that was one of the reasons I was sad to lose Jesus, just because I really wanted to see him play. You know, I love seeing, you know, young talent come up. It's one of the reasons I loved watching Nova pitch last year. It's why I enjoy, you know, I hope Phil Hughes, you know, does well, because I love seeing, you know, minors come out of the system and do well. I think it's one of the things that makes baseball fun.
It is fun, and it also kind of restores your faith in how the Yankee farm system operates when they can actually produce talent that makes the majors consistently.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll say this, I mean, at the time of the trade, I was upset just because I didn't really, with all the supposed pitching depth we had, I didn't really see a need for it. I don't think it's a bad trade per se, but I still question why they did it. And when you hear Cashman coming out with stuff, you know, some of the things he's been saying, you know, like how he's not a number two, or he needs to develop a pitch, or this trade was a mistake, it doesn't exactly build much confidence.
Right. And it's always hard to lose a prospect who was major league ready when the next position players we have, who are actually viable, are pretty far down in the system.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's kind of sad. But getting back to the AJ trade, yeah, I mean, I do think this is beneficial to the Pirates, too. I think this could really help them out, because, you know, I don't think AJ Burnett for 2 years is worth $33 million. But for $13 million, he's definitely worth it. I mean, yeah, he's erratic, but when he's on, he's pretty solid. It's just when his mechanics go off, you know, who knows what happens to him. I don't know if it's mental or he's just crazy. I don't know.
he definitely had a tough time with Yankee Stadium, and I think getting him out of the launching pad could really help him, because his career really went down when he started giving up a ton of home runs.
Yeah, you're right. That could be a factor. I mean, the great thing about the division he's moving to is it's gotten a whole lot weaker because of, you know, a lot of the things that happened the offseason. I mean, the Cardinals are now without Pujols. The Brewers are now without Fielder, and they're possibly without Braun for the first 50 games of the season.
So, oh, yeah. What happened with Ryan Braun? Has there been any news at all about him since
they said that?
Disputed it?
No, they said that they were still waiting on word and that he might have to report to camp and then find out that he's suspended and leave.
Wow. I thought he was trying to appeal, but I don't know. I haven't heard anything recently about that, so I guess it's still going on.
He was appealing, and they said that they wanted to have a decision before the Brewers reported, but that they weren't sure that they would.
Wow. That's too bad. I mean, I really hope he's on the up and up with that.
He's a great player.
Yeah, I've seen him hit. He's a pleasure to watch.
And yeah.
He goes into my whole belief that, I hope the Brewers can keep him for a long time, because one of the things I loved about...
They already signed him to a giant deal. He's there for, like, another 8 years or something.
Exactly. I mean, and that's one of the things I love. Like, one of the things I loved about Jeter was that not only was he homegrown, but we kept him for a long time. And that's the same thing I hope that happens with Cano. I think there's nothing better for a fan base than to have, like, a nice homegrown superstar that you can, you know, work around. Someone whose jerseys fans go out to buy. Someone you just go there to root for, stuff like that. Yeah, I think it's an important part of baseball for the fans. Not for you, though, Duggan. You just watch the teams.
Oh, of course.
You heartless...
I root for laundry.
You heartless monster.
I know.
Well, I guess getting into the next part, is there anything else from the Yankees offseason that you guys want to talk about?
Well, because I'm blessed with the internet, I did look a few things up, and I want to make a few points before we fully move on.
All right.
Yankee Stadium is the fourth most home run friendly and park in baseball, and PNC Park is the 24th most friendly.
Wow.
So AJ should get a considerable boost from moving stadiums, because giving up home runs really did tank his career, at least his Yankee career. And
yeah.
I found the pace leaderboard, and Mark Burley was the fastest by over 2 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Trust me, Josh
Beckett was the slowest.
I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
These people, like, I hated watching Beckett. I mean, I hated watching Red Sox games anyway, not because I dislike watching them play, which I do, because, I mean, if I watch them play, I always root for them to lose. But, like, them and the Yankees, they take so long to finish games, and not just when they play each other, but just in general. And it's partially because they're, you know, they have such a good hitting lineup. So I never want to cover them for my job. I mean, not for my job that pays me.
Yep. And about Pineda, Burley's pace, which I assume just is seconds between pitches, is 15.9, and Beckett's was like 26. Yeah. And Pineda is 20, so he's closer to... He's in like the upper third as far as pitch time. So you are right. He is faster than the average pitcher.
Well, that's good.
Yep.
I'm gonna have you give me a list on who's faster so I know who else to look for when I do my job.
I can send you the link. You have everything.
Awesome. See, that's why I hired you for this podcast.
Because I can look up useless minutia on the internet.
Exactly. That's what we're looking for here. Useless minutia. Alright, so is that it for Yankees?
I think that is all the useless minutia that I currently have.
Alright, Waffles, you have anything else to add, or...?
Well, one interesting thing that kind of happened was A-Rod's German surgery.
Oh, yes. The Kobe Bryant procedure.
Which hopefully keeps him on the field this season, because that would be much preferred to what happened last season.
Agreed. Yeah, I mean, granted, I mean, I like seeing Cano in the number four hole, just because I think it helped him improve, but not that the order matters all that much, but I don't know, I thought seeing him in that, I thought he hit better from that position. I have no actual proof of this, so.
You know, it hurts me right now not to look that up and try and disprove you.
next time, you can disprove me on the second episode. Alright, so if that's it in Yankee baseball, I guess we can talk about some of the other things that happened in the offseason for other teams that you guys found interesting.
Like moving Miguel Cabrera to third.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest one. That, when I was at a function when the Prince Fielder trade was announced, and that actually blew my mind that the Tigers paid that much for him for that long. And considering that, again, they have Miguel Cabrera.
Well, I mean, they're stacked. They're in that division, they're going to win it going away. And, I mean, they could win 100 games. I mean, they have a great team.
Yeah.
And with Verlander and Pfister at the top of the rotation and those guys at the corners, I mean, it's hard to imagine any scenario in which they don't win the division now. But 6 years from now, when they're still paying lots of money to Prince Fielder, I think they'll regret it. But they're built to win now, and so they have to kind of make good and do their winning.
Yeah, I think if they win one or two world championships, then the trade will have.
Then they won't care. Then they'll be fine with it.
They can try to build off of that success. But yeah, if they don't win, that's going to be a. I don't know. This trade could be looked back on with immense disgust.
Well, what I was saying was that it kind of came out of nowhere because I don't think anyone had connected Fielder to the Tigers before that. It just kind of happened.
Yeah, it was definitely just a. Yeah.
The Nationals were front runners for a long time, for just about the whole time. I mean, it's always tough to know what is Scott Boras smoke being blown and what's actually real, but the Nationals seemed like they were the front runners just about the whole time.
I'll say this about the Nationals too. I think they've greatly improved their team. They actually have a decent rotation and a decent team. I mean, I don't know how well they'll compete, but I think they will.
Yeah, the NL East is going to be a tough division in the next few years. The Mets are going to be buried.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh, they have little chance. It's sad. What, you know? Because you think about it, like, you know, 6 years ago they were on the precipice of, like, they were one pitch away from, you know, making it to the World Series or not, and now they're at the.
They have some great teams.
Yeah, and they're pretty much at, like, the bottom of the NL East now. And
really, everything has gone wrong.
Yeah, they lost Reyes. That was the other big move, one of the other big moves of the offseason.
Losing Reyes to a division rival.
Yeah. I mean, granted, I don't know if the Marlins will be able to keep Reyes for that long. I think they're doing similar to what the Tigers do, making a bid for the World Series, but I mean, they're also been the type of team that will essentially dump salary and trade everyone, even if they win. So, who knows?
They really need Josh Johnson to stay healthy, and he hasn't really done that so far.
Yeah. I'll tell you, though, that home run thing in the outfield.
Oh, it's monstrous. You can kind of see what they're doing because they so desperately need to actually start selling tickets this year. Because they're in a new park and they need to really sell it as a team that's different than the teams from before. And they went out and they spent a lot of money. I'm surprised that they didn't get Yoenis Cespedes. Because they seemed like the front runner for him the whole time. And, you know, over $100 million for Reyes and signing Mark Burley and,
heck, they were one of the
teams.
Heath Bell. Yeah,
they were one of the teams on the radar for a fielder.
Yeah, they definitely were, and Pujols as well. Yeah. They offered like $250 million for Pujols. They have to win. They have to win, or else not necessarily win, but they have to sell tickets now.
They
kind of floated along with no payroll and not selling anything, but now if they're going to get the new stadium and go out and buy players and try to compete, then they have to sell tickets, so you can kind of see them being a little bit desperate with some gimmicks that they're going for, but they really have to sell tickets.
Tacky, seizure-inducing thing.
Yeah, yeah. I think the word of this offseason for them was gaudy. You know, it's the same, too, because the stadium itself actually looks really nice. I mean, you know.
Oh, it's a beautiful stadium.
From the shots of the exterior, some of the shots of the interior, the stadium actually looks pretty nice. It's really just the monstrous home run thing in center, like in
Their uniforms too. It's like everything that they did, where they had a stylistic choice, they went for the worst of the '80s.
Yeah, you know? They went for '80s styles gaudishness. It's awful.
Yeah.
I mean, it could have been one of the reasons Pujols didn't sign. He's like, I'm not wearing that.
Those uniforms are hideous.
Yeah, I don't understand the color choice. I mean, there were so many other better colors to choose, not rainbowy or 80s, like you said, 80s style workout clothes. But yeah, no, it's definitely been an interest. I think this has been one of the more interesting off seasons in baseball for a long time. Just all
we haven't even really talked about everything that went down in the AL West with Pujols and Wilson going to the Angels and the Rangers getting Yu Darvish.
Yeah, I mean that division.
That's going to be an incredibly fun division to watch.
Yeah, I mean, well, we'll probably be watching the Mariners a bit more because of Montero. You know, see what he does for them. I'm actually going to be curious what Noace does for them too. I mean, I hope
definitely. He's got a good chance to make the rotation right out of spring training.
Oh, I think he does, absolutely. And I hope he does. I wish him nothing but the best. I think he has a much better chance of succeeding there than he ever did here.
Yeah, he was really not done a good service by how he was used last season.
Yeah, I mean, it was helpful. It was definitely helpful, there's no doubt about it. But, yeah, I don't think he was going to... Here, I don't think he'd be anything more than long relief.
Yeah, and just kind of being left to rot in the pen this year did not really help him along so well. Because he'd been really built up. He'd thrown a lot of innings. It didn't really make sense for him to be used in the role that he was used in. I mean, there's definitely something to be said for pitching in the majors over pitching in the minors, but you know, he had always been a starter and been a pretty successful starter. And to just kind of put him in last man out of the pen role where he'll go a week without getting used or go in for sometimes one inning, sometimes for four innings, sometimes just leave him in there to take one for the team, all that kind of stuff that you kind of reserve for Sergio Mitre. Sorry that I said the evil name, but having Noesi do that really did seem kind of like a waste of his talent, and I would say that he was a little bit stunted by that, but you know, with a chance to start every 5 days, I think he could do okay for Seattle.
Well, you look at what you look at what happened with Chaba and Hughes, and you worry about that for some of the minor pitchers in the Yankee system. You know, for all, you know, our talk about how good our farm system is at building up pitchers, it's a real challenge once they get here to, you know, if they feel that they can be more useful in the bullpen and it's going to help them win a World Series, they'll, you know, they'll risk their career to do it.
Yep.
But yeah, no, that the AL West is definitely going to be an interesting division to watch. That should be some pretty good matchups between the Angels and Rangers.
I'm really excited to see Darvish pitch.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what he can do too. I know a lot of people were hoping the Yankees picked him up.
Yeah, he would be a great pitcher to have. I don't know if I wanted to spend all of the money that it would take to get him, but I mean, it's kind of like signing Pujols, and of course you want him on your team. He's great, but I don't know if he fits so well for the Yankees. But wherever he was, I'm just excited to see him pitch in America now.
Yeah, same here. Waffles?
Yes.
How about you? Are you looking forward to seeing him pitch?
Yeah, I'm excited. I think that they will need him to be pretty good just to mitigate the loss of C.J. Wilson. But I think that it will be interesting to see how they use Neftali Feliz because they want to make him into a starter.
Yeah.
And the same thing with Red Sox and Dan Bard.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are going to be curious to watch in the spring training to see how they adjust to the starter role.
I remember the Red Sox were thinking about doing that with Papelbon like 3 or 4 years ago to try him out in the rotation, and then after a few spring training starts, they pulled the plug and put him back in the bullpen. So I don't know how committed they are with Bard and how committed the Rangers are with Feliz, but it is kind of interesting whenever you have a closer to the rotation or a rotation to closer, especially when they've been successful at one. You see how committed they are, because both of them have been really great out of the bullpen. So it's kind of tough to guess how willing they'll be to sacrifice that to see what they can do in the rotation.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, last season they kind of stretched out Feliz during spring training, if I remember correctly, and he ended up getting hurt. And he made a comment about how he thought that it was because they stretched him out that he got hurt, and then later kind of took it back. But
I seem to remember him saying this. I could be completely wrong here, but I seem to remember him saying that he did get hurt because he was stretched out. I thought he got hurt because he was stretched out, and then said that he didn't want to do that anymore.
Yeah, that's what he said at first.
He didn't want to start anymore.
And then I think he, like, kind of went back on it a little later and was like, oh, that's not really what I meant. But I kind of think that what he said at first was more what he thought.
Yeah.
I'll say this, speaking of, like, closers, you mentioned Papelbon. That was another interesting move this offseason. The Phillies gave Papelbon a lot of money.
And poor Ryan Madsen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was like,
Ryan Madsen is going to find Papelbon and key his van so badly.
I'm all for that. I don't like Papelbon at all.
He was you know, minutes away from $40 million, and then now he has a one-year deal. Not even with the Phillies. Who's
with the Reds.
Oh, yeah.
It could make the Reds pretty interesting. I mean, who was closing for the Reds beforehand?
Cordero.
Yeah, it was Cordero.
Uh-huh.
So that could be an interesting combination. I don't know if it'll be as good as the Braves, their eighth inning, ninth inning combo, which seems to work really well last year.
Braves are going to be really good this year.
Yeah,
and the next bunch of years.
Yeah, like, that's right now, like a 4-team division. Like that can go either way.
Yeah.
The Braves have a really strong starting rotation to kind of back up a really good pen.
Yeah, no, absolutely. They just need to improve, I think, on their hitting.
They need Jason Hayward to recover and turn back into Jason Hayward.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He definitely did not have a good sophomore year.
I think it'll be interesting to see how they use the guy that they got from the Yankees in the Javi Vasquez trade. Because last season they were using him out of the pen when he got called up. And their rotation is kind of full. So it'll be interesting to see how they choose to use him.
Yeah, he definitely showed some good stuff, but he's really a two-pitch pitcher at this point. He really just has a big fastball and a big breaking ball. So you can kind of see the logic in using him out of the pen because he doesn't really have a third pitch. But, I mean, this is kind of getting off topic a little bit.
Feel free. I mean, that's what this podcast is all about.
Yeah. Yankee fans really have made a big deal about, you know, Jabba and Hughes switching back and forth from the pen to the rotation, and a lot of ink has been spilled about, you know, jerking guys around and not giving them a clear role. And if you look around baseball, it's actually pretty common when you have a young pitcher that they're going to have to do some stuff out of the pen, some stuff in the rotation. They kind of have to earn their spot. Rarely do you see, unless you just have a barren starting rotation and you're a top prospect or you come up and start and do really well, you rarely see someone just, like, get the ball and say, here, you're starting forever, you know?
Didn't David Price start in the pen?
Yeah.
That's another team that's going to be real interesting to watch. With the Yankees and the Rays, like, I don't think the Red Sox have a rotation that can match up to either of them right now.
No, they don't. I mean, I would say, but, I mean, last year the Red Sox were the best team on paper. They just were in the division. Their rotation was definitely thin, but certainly the Yankees was even more thin. And I still think that they will hit enough in the middle of their lineup that they'll be a good and dangerous team.
I think they really need Crawford to get over what happened last year and produce. I think that was a huge factor for why they did so poorly last year, because he was abysmal.
He really was. Which was really surprising. I mean, he's a much better player than that.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought as soon as they signed him that they had given too much for him. I mean, I thought that was a pretty classic overpay, but still, you wouldn't expect him to go off a cliff so quickly.
Yeah.
And I don't think he has. I think that he'll be much better this year than he was last year.
He better be, or because people say the Yankees, the New York press is bad. The Boston press, I think, is worse, and they will eat him alive if he does not, you know, produce this year.
Yeah, the Boston press is kind of famous for self-destruction, you know?
Oh, yeah, and under the bus, too.
Oh, that's what I mean. Like, they have no problem skewering one of their own and feeding them to the wolves.
Oh, not at all. But, I mean, the Rays' rotation looks real good. I mean, if Matt Moore does what he's expected to do, that's a really good starting rotation.
Yeah, definitely.
I think a lot of the divisions are going to be pretty interesting this year. I mean, I don't know too much about the NL West right now. I mean,
the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, Diamondbacks still look like a pretty good team. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with the Dodgers or anything like that, but I mean, the rest of the divisions, like the NL Central, now with, you know, two big players leaving, the Pirates getting A.J. Burnett, well, the Astros are probably still going to be the same, so. But that could be an interesting division. You know, the NL East is pretty much four teams competing. The AL East is probably still going to be Yankees, Red Sox, Rays for, you know, the foreseeable future. I mean, the Blue Jays could, again, maybe they'll surprise us all, but until they show it, it's hard to see it.
I bet.
I knew that was coming.
Oh, I said that for a reason. And the AL West, again, that's going to be a really interesting race with the Angels and Rangers. That can go either way, I think.
Yeah, this was definitely an interesting offseason to set up a lot of potentially cool things to watch, which is why I'm glad that your people, the MLB.TV people, have now let me watch four games at once so that I never have to do anything else again.
I know, I love that. I love that feature myself.
So the rest of my life can be devoted to watching baseball.
That's a pretty nice plug.
Oh, yeah. That's a great feature, too.
So if you're watching this, someone from MLB.com, just know that Duggan was the one to give you those kind words.
That's Lord Duggan on PSA promoting MLB.TV. Bravo.
Right.
I'm not getting anywhere because of it.
No, definitely not.
But, yeah, no, I think it's going to be a really, really good season. I guess wrapping this up, so... what are you two looking forward to this season? I mean, we'll obviously have more to talk about when spring training rolls along further, but what are you two looking forward to this offseason? I mean, this actually on season.
Definitely to watch Pineda and Kuroda pitch. No doubt about it. I want to see Eduardo Nunez get some more time. See if he can get over some of his rookie yips, because I do think there is talent there.
I do, too. I see a lot of potential in him.
Yeah. See if A-Rod can stay healthy, stay productive. See how Granderson follows up on such a big year last year. See if he can see how much of that he can get back in 2012.
And bunting.
Oh, God. If Tex bunts, if Tex starts bunting all the time, I'm just going to cry.
Yeah, no, I know. I mean, I joked, like, against Miguel Cabrera at third, everyone should bunt. But, you know, I obviously don't mean that. So, Waffles, how about you? What are you looking forward to this season?
I'm excited to see how Pineda adjusts to the AL East. And I'm excited to see what happens with our bullpen, because, obviously, I would like to see David Robertson set up Rivera again, but if Soriano is healthy, that is kind of his decreed role. So it'll be interesting to see.
The eighth inning guy role.
The eighth inning guy.
I think Soriano's going to be a lot better this year than he was last year.
I think so, too. I hope so.
Yeah.
I'm just partial to David Robertson. That is all.
Yeah, he had a great year last year.
Yeah, I don't think that's fully the reason why she is, but...
That's enough.
All right. I guess what I'm looking forward to... I'm looking forward to seeing Nova follow up on his
year.
Oh,
yeah, definitely.
I really want to see him continue to grow into a fantastic pitcher. I'm looking to see what happens with Hughes and Garcia. Again, I really want to see Hughes pick it up and build off... You know, try to put last year behind him and... You know, really, hopefully he can become the starter I want him to be. Obviously, I'm looking more to, you know, seeing Brett Gardner roar. Looking forward to see how Cano continues to build on his incredible hitting. And hopefully he can, I think, like, last year his fielding was down a bit. But I remember the previous year, he was pretty solid as a defender.
Yep.
So I'm hoping he can repeat that again. And I'm also looking forward to, hoping that Teixeira can also have a bounce back year. I think he needs one.
Yeah, he needs to stop pulling the ball so much, so hopefully he can do that without bunting.
Yes, I agree. Him bunting is a frightening thought.
Yeah.
I actually hope Gardner can, you know, bunt more for hits if possible. I don't want to see him sliding into first. I'm just not a fan of that.
It's scary.
Yeah, it is scary. Like, I'm so afraid, like, don't step on his hand, don't step on his hand, don't step on his hand.
And you see it happen, and you see that he's always, I mean, how many hand and thumb injuries and wrist injuries has he had since he's been in, I mean, he's done it like 3 times.
I know. Yeah. It's...
And I don't know if any of them have been specifically from being stepped on or just from sliding and diving and stuff, but you kind of have to take care of yourself.
Yes, he is. Or else I'm going to be upset. And that's not good.
No.
I'm kind of excited to see if Russell Brannion can make the team.
Yeah, there have been a lot of interesting minors or like minor league contracts given out this year.
Dingers.
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 That one that he hit off of Javi Vasquez, not convinced it landed.
No, it was a monster shot.
It's ridiculous.
But, yeah, no, maybe that'll be a topic for next podcast. We can discuss, like, the minor league contracts and, you know, what the people offered them, or people who got them offered the Yankees, or possibly offered the Yankees.
Definitely.
Okay.
All right. Well, I guess that just about wraps things up for this podcast. Duggan, Waffles, any final thoughts?
I don't have any thoughts at all.
Even better. Waffles?
Go Yankees.
All right. I think that's the most important thing. So, on behalf of Lord Duggan and What Would Jeter Do? Waffles, to me, of course, I'm giving you a raise, and thanks for listening. Go Yankees.